time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And the Vintage Truth Podcast now is available on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on your Google app. It's on the podcast app on your phone. It's online at podomatic.com. And so you can listen to it anywhere. You can listen to it through Alexa. In many ways you can listen to the Vintage Truth Podcast. The main thing is that you listen and that you are getting this podcast, this broadcast of the Word of God and the truth of God in a language that you can understand. And that's very exciting for me. That's why I do what I do. And I appreciate so many of you who have encouraged me with these podcasts. It really does make a difference. This is a ministry that, you know, we don't get thousands of cards and letters every week, that we have a team that pours through them and that kind of, no, it's just me. And so if you send an email to me at jeffkinleyauthor@gmail.com and send me your thoughts or your encouragements or a way that I can pray for you, or if you have a question that you'd like to be answered during one of my podcasts, send that to me as well. And we'll see about covering that. I'm pretty sure we can do that for you. So, hey, you know, one time I had a guy who I was having coffee with on my front porch. This was several years ago, and he was talking to me about Islam. And he said, you know, basically, Christians and Muslims worship the same God, don't they? And, you know, today there's sort of a subtle pressure to say that in the efforts of, you know, having peace and getting along and coexisting and that type of thing. And it's the idea that, well, we worship the same God. We just choose a different path to get to him. And so why can't we all just, you know, be friends? Well, there's only one problem with that, is that both Christianity and Islam are exclusive religions. In other words, their faith systems preclude the others from being legitimate. So if you ask a true Muslim whether or not they believe that one can become, you know, rightly related to Allah and go to their version of paradise without Islam, they'll say, no, you can't do that. If you ask a Christian who knows their Bible, can you get to heaven by going through Islam? They're going to say no. And God is not just this thing in the sky that you just choose whatever road you want to get to him. He pretty much has laid it out for us. So the question is to Christians then, oh, well, then you just think your religion's the only right one, right? Yes, that's true. But a better question would be, why do we think or believe that that is true? And the answer is found in two words. Ready for it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the answer for why we believe that Christianity is the only way to God. Now, Christianity, our faith, is not ultimately defined by our creeds or our practices or our history or even by us as Christians. Christianity is defined by Jesus Christ himself, his words and his works, his devotion to God and what he did for us, and everything that he said that is recorded in Scripture. So the question then becomes, well, how do we know who this Jesus is specifically? And the only real answer is the Bible. So you can't just say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible. Really? How do you find Jesus if you don't find him in the Bible? You see, so you can't divorce Jesus from the Scriptures. You can't unhitch yourself from the Bible in order to pursue your own relationship with Jesus. Because God in Scripture has revealed himself to us through the account of Scripture. And without it, we're pretty much lost, okay? And I'm going to cover that, the whole idea of how does God reveal himself to man. I'm going to cover that here in a few podcasts, okay? So hang on for that. I'm going to talk all about the process of divine revelation, how it worked, how it's working now. So I'm going to cover that here. But for now, let's talk about this whole idea of the exclusivity of Christianity. In other words, why do you believe that your religion is the only one? Well, Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about that for a second, okay? So I really think this is an important thing for Christians to address and to be trained in because we need to know how to give an answer for our faith to people out there in the world. And guess what? As I talked about in the previous podcast, they're not going to like the answers that you give. You know why? Because they don't want Jesus to be the only way. They don't want the Bible to be the only book that's true. They want to have their own truth system, one that is convenient, one that works for them, and one that gives them a comfortable faith. So let's talk about Jesus for a second. Now, I'm going to throw out some terms to you during the course of this, the next few podcasts. So hang with me. I'll define all of them. We're going to talk, first of all, about the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, the deity of Christ is fundamental, okay? It is a cornerstone truth to understanding Christ's personhood and his work or what he did. It's a central doctrine, the deity of Christ is, that drives all the other doctrines about Christ, because we begin with the idea that Jesus is God. So let's explore some of the evidence for the deity of Christ together. And we're going to make special note of his claims that he made concerning himself, his claims, what other people said concerning him, and how those claims were irrefutably proven to be true. Okay. So let's talk about deity for a second. When we talk about deity, we're referring to the truth or the claim that Jesus is God. He's not an emanation from God. He's not an offshoot from God. He's not a created being from God. He's God, okay? And we mean that Christ is 100% God and 100% man. We're talking about the God-man here, the Son of God. Now, sometimes people from other faiths or people that are that have grown up, you know, without Christ or whatever, or without the church, they'll say things like, wait a minute, God had a son? Wait a minute, how does that work? If he had a son, that means that, you know, he wasn't at one time and now he is. Well, the word son there doesn't technically mean, it's a term of inheritance, okay? It's specifically referring to the role that the second member of the Godhead plays in the triunity of the Godhead. When we talk about Christ as the Son of God, you know, it talks about in John 3:16, you're the only begotten Son of God. That word there, only begotten, doesn't mean that, oh, God had one son that he had. It doesn't mean that. It means monogenes is the word there, and it means one of a kind is what it means. It means unique. And so the Son of God means that Christ plays a unique role in the Trinity. And obviously we know what that role is, that he came to be the incarnate Son of God into our world. And he was the Son of God, the Son of Man. And he has this unique role that enabled him to become our sin substitute on the cross. So three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all co-equal, okay? Three persons, one essence. And hey, that's beyond our pay grade to really comprehend. But Christ is not the Father is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son, and yet they completely complement and coexist together perfectly. Okay, just like the Father and the Spirit, Christ possesses all the attributes and characteristics of God. That's what deity means. Now, okay, it's one thing to say that. Does the Bible say that? Well, before we get to the Bible, let's just establish one thing, because every now and then, you'll get some guy who's been living under a rock for the past century that'll come out and say something idiotic like this. Well, we don't really know if Jesus was even a real person or not. I mean, you know, it's like nobody talks about it, that kind of thing. Well, I got news for you. We do know that Christ is a real person. The whole Christ myth has absolutely no historical basis, because there are many secular and non-biblical sources that also document Jesus Christ's historicity. He was here. Okay, no real scholar denies that today. I mean, it's kind of like an old argument that people wanted to use to just discredit. I mean, obviously, if he never existed, he can't be the things that he claimed to be, right? And so Christianity, therefore, is just a myth. But we know Jesus was here. I mean, we know it from the Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus, who lived from AD 56 to 120. We know it from the Jewish historian, not the Christian historian, but the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was born about AD 37 or so. He writes about him. We know about it through Suetonius, who was born in 69 AD. We know about Christ through Pliny the Younger, who was born about AD 61. We know it about Christ through Thallus, a Samaritan-born historian. So there are many different sources that were close to the birth and historicity of Christ that that established the fact that Jesus was a real person. So, okay, so that doesn't prove he's God, right? It just proves he was here. But nobody denies the real existence of Jesus anymore, okay? Now, there are some faiths that will agree with us. They'll say, oh, Jesus was a prophet of God. I mean, Islam even says he was a prophet of God, even though they say he did not actually die on the cross. Judas died in his place. So Christ was not the sin substitute. You have people like the Mormons who will say Jesus is a God, but he is ultimately a created being. But see, Christianity is the only faith that says that Christ is more than just a God. He is the God of the universe involved in the very creation of the world. So what evidence do we have that Christ is God? I mean, who says so? You know, who has ever claimed that Jesus is God Almighty? Well, let's start by talking about the fact that in the Old Testament, there were over 300 prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled when he came to this planet, when he historically showed up, okay, at his first coming. And all 300, more than 300 of those prophecies were fulfilled literally and exactly as predicted. Now, this is to me not only evidence of Christ, we'll talk about that in a second, but evidence of why the Bible should be trusted, about why the trustworthiness, the validity, the accuracy of Scripture is impeccable. I mean, the Bible's batting 1,000 on this whole thing. And there's so many prophecies to mention. I'll just mention a few of the big ones here. The Bible says that Christ would be the eternal God, Micah 5:2. It calls him the Lord. In Psalm 110, it's talking about that the Messiah would be God, okay? We're talking about God, deity here, right? That he would be an eternal priest, Psalm 110, verse 4, that he would be a miracle worker, Isaiah 35, 5 through 6, that he would be the Savior, Isaiah 53, 5. And all of these prophecies, Micah talks about how he will be born in Bethlehem. I mean, there's so many different prophecies that were fulfilled. Now, the question is, what are the odds that one person would fulfill all of these prophecies? Let's be a skeptic for a moment. Let's be an agnostic or an atheist or whatever. And let's just talk about the fact that what are the odds that one person in history could, by any means he is able to do that. Obviously you can't plan your own place of your own birth. So that's pretty miraculous right there. But let's just say that one person tries to fulfill all these prophecies. I mean, who can predict, who can accurately predict, who can control governments, who can control religions, who can control people around him, who can control nature, who can do all these things to fulfill all these prophecies, and what are the odds they could do it? Well, let's not talk about 300 prophecies for a second. Let's talk about 8 prophecies, mathematically speaking. Now, there was a man, actually a professor, by the name of Peter Stoner, okay? And he was a famous mathematician, and he estimated that if you took the odds of Christ fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies, just 8, that the odds are 1 in 100 quadrillion. How many zeros is that? 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's 3, 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12, that's 15, 7, that's, okay, that's 1 in 100 quadrillion is 1 to the 1 in 10 to the 17th power, 16th power. It's just mind-boggling, okay? And this is how he sort of illustrated it, sort of give us a visual on how this thing works. He said, if you, 1 in 100 quadrillion is like this. If you took 100 quadrillion silver dollars, okay, some of you are listening, know what a silver dollar is. You took 1 in 100 quadrillion silver dollars and you spread them out over the entire state of Texas, all right? That's 268,597 square miles. Texas is a big place. Have you been to Texas? Have you ever driven in West Texas? Hey, I've driven in West Texas for like a day. you still don't get anywhere. You're still driving. There's a lot of land in Texas, okay? Big state, right? If you took the number of silver dollars that equaled 1 100 quadrillion, that would cover the entire land mass of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. So just think about, imagine 2 feet deep in your own yard, how many silver dollars that would look like. Now, spread it out to your city, to your state. Now go to the entire state of Texas, okay? Now take one of those coins, one of those silver dollars, and put a magic marker X on it, okay? Like a Sharpie, put an X on it. Now toss it into the mass of the entire state of Texas. And then mess them all up. Just shuffle them all up for a while, as long as you want to. Now, take a man, blindfold him, and put him in a helicopter. And have him randomly fly zigzag patterns all over the state of Texas. And then when he says now, then you lower him down in any spot in the state of Texas. That man, the chances of that man reaching down and randomly, blindfolded, selecting one coin, and that coin be the coin that has the X on it in the entire state of Texas, 2 feet deep in silver dollars, on the first attempt. Those are the chances that one man could fulfill just 8 of the messianic prophecies. And then Stoner went a little bit further. He further calculated the odds of any one man fulfilling 48 of those prophecies. And he said it's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's 10 with 157 zeros after it. And the math is so mind-blowing there that he was forced to use a completely different illustration. And I don't even know if this is going to resonate with you. This is so bizarre. He said that you would have to use electrons to illustrate the math for this, because he says, you know, electrons are smaller than atoms, right? And it would take 10 quadrillion electrons laid side by side. That's 10 with 15 zeros after it to equal 1 inch. Okay. So 10 quadrillion electrons is 1 inch long. He says, if you counted at 250 electrons per minute for 24 hours a day, it would take you 19 million years to count that 1 inch of electrons. Am I losing you yet? He said the number of electrons to calculate the Jesus fulfilling, or one person fulfilling 48 of those prophecies, is an electrons that would measure over 10 inches. So theoretically, it would take you 190 million years to count them one by one. Blindly locating the one marked electron, if you could mark an electron with a Sharpie, and this massive number is a probability beyond our possibility to imagine. And this is Stoner's conclusion. The professor said this, quote, any man who rejects Christ as the Son of God is rejecting a fact proved perhaps more absolutely than any other fact in the world. So Jesus existed, and the mere math involved that he would fulfill just 8 of those prophecies is so incredibly mind-boggling that it's not even worth pursuing. So if you're a thinking person, all right, you have to say, at the very least, you have to say this, wow, I can't believe that's incredible. That ought to get your attention enough to want to go further into the deity of Christ. And so all that to say is this, is that number one, Bible prophecy and the Old Testament make the claim that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah. And to argue that, you need to go back and disprove that he fulfilled any of those 300 prophecies or so in the Old Testament made concerning him. And you need to debunk the math of him fulfilling even just 8 of them. Now, if you can do any of that, go for it. Okay. So that's the first thing we're talking about. And we're talking about Jesus being God and Jesus fulfilling prophecy and Jesus being this God figure that we should be worshiping. First of all, you got to establish the fact that he made claims, and the Bible makes claims about Jesus Christ. So in the next podcast, I want to talk about the claims that Christ himself made about his own person, and how that those claims are further proof that he is the very God he claims to be. All right? Hey, I hope that's been helpful for you. I'll see you next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast, and we'll pick up this idea. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.